First time, long time, episode 6. Welcome to it. This is the official start after that rant from Hades, I guess.
Hell yeah. No, the fire and brimstone was there.
Yeah.
And then I thought I was like feeling the fire and brimstone. Like I was like, ooh, I feel it like literally within me. Like, ooh, but my legs are hot. My pants are hot right now. And then I realized that was the hot coffee spilling all over the place.
Yeah, we pounded and we spilled.
The fucking table in here, Smitty. I fucking love it.
That's all what it's about. That's all it's about in this life and the next. But we got myself. I got Roan. We got producer John Kelly, also a Philly local boy.
First time, long time.
Believe it.
You said we can't use that anymore.
I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. Basically, this is the show to get the show green lit. So we're going to go over a bunch of things. Keep it very general. This is a Philly city atmospheric type podcast, including a Philly sports podcast. And one thing that is great about Philly sports and the city is that summers are officially back with the Phillies. Roan, how much better is it during August, July, when you're not down the shore? You can just go to a Phillies game and have it matter.
Oh my God, it's going to be so important. It's going to be so fantastic. We're a little bit early in the year to be going to the Phillies games because you're in the jacket or whatever. You still have, but once you hit those summer months, once you hit that full stride, a little daytime tailgate, hit the parking lot, go out in the bars afterwards, maybe go out in South Philly, maybe hit up Passyunk down in Philly. The fucking lights are across the streets and everything. You're walking down, you're tipsy in the middle of the street, and you forget that there's any pain in the world. Everything is just magical and beautiful. And now, like, I really do think that everything feels better when you have like a good baseball team. It's like it's just a more complete city metropolitan vibe, you know?
Exactly. And then that pain just comes back when you're drunk and end up at Delilah's or Sugar House.
Yep, that
money directly back. Did you know that they initially thought about putting the casino right by the stadiums?
Really? Oh, that would have been terrible.
Like Jack's Casino, like in other cities, I was right downtown.
Can you imagine in like 2013 watching Ryan Howard put up a golden sombrero and then marching across the street drunk and losing a K on fucking blackjack?
It would have, I mean, it would have made losing the K feel a little bit, it would have been, that wouldn't have hurt as bad, but the next morning would have been a little bit more painful. Thankfully, it's just one-stop shopping for sports and not for your sports gambling. Wait, are you at liberty to say that your Sugar House story recently?
No, we can't do that just yet. Maybe if we get down the line, we can have a couple.
Say just a notable Philly guy won a lot of money at Sugar House?
A notable Philly guy won a lot of money at Sugar House recently. We have inside sources from there, and it's a very interesting story. I specifically told him we would not share it on air yet, but who knows if this podcast becomes something of note.
A little teaser.
Yeah, we'll bring it. We'll bring it out there.
Story, it made my jaw drop on the fucking floor. Couldn't believe what I couldn't believe the numbers, and I couldn't believe the name.
Names.
Multiple. Names. You're right. We're talking names.
We're talking Sugar House, probably the most degenerate spot on the East Coast.
I can't have fun in Sugar House, honestly.
You're not supposed to.
But like, there's not even the illusion that I'm going to have fun. Like any other casino is like you at least walk in and there's glitz, glamour, gold, maybe some kind of pond or some fish. Like you, as soon as you go in, it's just like a cloud of, instead of perfume, it's cigarette smoke, and you're inside hell.
The only place worse than the Sugar House Casino is the Sugar House Express that drives around and picks up people to take you to the casino.
That is fucked up that they do that.
That is very, very messed up. It goes straight, just a roundabout loop through Chinatown and picks up people and drops them right off.
I wonder if there's people who like didn't expect to be going to Sugar House that wind up on the Sugar House Express.
100%.
Like people just like flag it down. 100%. Like, take me to Sugar House.
100%.
Just absolute drunks. I mean, I'm not surprised they go through Chinatown. I was looking up the history of Chinatown in Philly recently, and it was just hookers. It was just street walking hookers. Like before it got fully rebranded as the Chinatown it is today, it was Hooker Central. And I'll leave it at that. Like I don't really have anything to add on to it, but I just like I feel like I wanted to get that off my chest that Chinatown used to be chock-a-block with fucking hookers, that they were just up and down the street. There was over Ray Street.
I haven't spent much time in Chinatown.
Just Yakitori Boy, right?
Yeah, well, pretty much just karaoke and calling it a day. I did take a Bolt bus Or no, it wasn't a Bolt bus. It was
Chinatown bus.
Yeah, the Chinatown
bus.
Yeah,
they got like chickens running around on it.
Yeah, one time in like 2009 to New York City, got on there. It was like $2 a ticket.
Right.
Empty bus. Thrilled. I was like, holy
shit. It was empty?
$2 ticket, empty bus. Let's go. We proceeded to drive around Chinatown for 2.5 hours until the bus was filled.
No way.
And drove to New York. Oh, yeah.
No way.
That was my Chinatown.
No wonder it was $2.
I don't believe
it. How the fuck do you drive around Chinatown? It's like, oh.
That's all we did. That's
all we did.
You
just go up and down Ray Street?
Pretty
like,
much.
That's so wild.
Pretty much the
loop
to loop.
They fucked you.
Yep.
But yeah, I feel like I'm always the last person to get on that bus, and I'm always like next to like the most like thunderous thighs ever. Like I'm next to someone so obese that I have a right butt cheek hanging into the aisle. Like that's my Chinatown bus every single time. I can't like I'm always next to the smelliest person. It's a blessing. It's something. It's one of the things I'm best at.
Bolt bus too. It's not that much better.
The Bolt bus is the Bolt bus really isn't
I mean,
that
it's
much
a little
better.
Bit better than the Chinatown bus. But.
I haven't been on a Chinatown bus that caught on fire. I have been on a Bolt bus that went up in flames.
Swear
to
God.
No, I survived. Just the engine just overheated.
What
did
they
do? And you went out and you pull the fuck over and get out.
And you just stand on the side of the highway
absolutely.
And another Bolt bus comes up? How
straight
soon?
Straight up. It was like 45 minutes.
Not bad.
Granted, in a life-threatening situation,
I'm sure
it wasn't the worst.
Times,
yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Jesus
Christ.
Those puppies. We have protocol for this. Don't worry.
Exactly.
We've done this before. They have another bus right behind it.
Those puppies go up in smoke. But long way around, summertime's in Philly. Talk about the Phillies and then talk about hookers in Chinatown.
Yeah.
I've also seen probably some of the biggest fights I've ever seen back in the Philly like heydays of those big tailgates. Where I would just step out into mayhem and just...
Well, you don't need to go to the tailgates anymore to see the brawls.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's
a lot
of douche going on at Sips right now.
Oh, Sips for sure. But before we even get to Sips, I mean, there's a lot of douche going on by the stadium, and a lot of them aren't even of legal drinking age yet.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I know when I was in high school, I was down at the stadium, and
young crowd.
And I was young, and I was drinking before the games, but... Even before I was in high school, there was like a legendary St. Joe's Prep Bonner fight where like 30 kids got arrested in like the 700 level. It's like one of the most, like I think in Glenn Macnow's book, he talks about it. It's like one of the most legendary scumbag degenerate and like they were all like 15 and shit-faced at the time.
That's what happens. Yeah. That's
especially
what happens.
The 700,
right.
it was lawless and you're just getting baked out in that sun. You're just getting deep fried.
See,
it's preposterous.
And usually... they would take either St. Joe's, Bonner, Northeast Philly, wherever you're from, you take that down the shore and you go to neutral territory, whether it's Wildwood or Sea Isle or Ocean City under the boardwalk. You make sure the playing field's safe. Everybody's a home team in the 700 level in the vet.
Exactly. And
you don't know who to root for.
And you can watch it. Like, the whole – it's so obvious. It's not like you're under the boardwalk hidden. Like, the whole stadium stopped watching the game and just were watching, like, 16-year-old Timmy whipping, like, Billy's ass. It was preposterous. But you were right about Sips, though. That, like, the videos from last year of that, like, preposterous knockout or whatever is, like – that's, like, an all-time Philly fight video.
Yeah. The frat boy fight from Sips last year. Sips has – granted, we've been up here for 3 summers now.
This
will be the third. And I remember Sips being a pretty decent spot or spots to go after work, wet the whistle, a bunch of friends. And now it just seems like everyone's coming in. Here's my old person, Rand. Everyone's coming in on the R5, just ruining everything for everybody.
That's where the term shoobies came from, when people would come down the shore for a day with their shoebox full of, like, with their sandwich in it or whatever, and fucking just take the bus down, go to the beach for the day, and come back. You got a bunch of shoobies coming down to fucking Sips, bringing their fucking sack lunch down into the city off the R5, whipping ass and going home.
Exactly.
It's preposterous. I was never a big Sips guy, to be honest, just because... I never lived that suit and tie lifestyle, so maybe I was resentful of all these what I thought was about to be just the business people of Philly going out. But then I see these videos of teens whipping ass, and it's like, hang on, I didn't realize this girl's going wild.
See, I was never a suit and tie guy, but me and my buddies always used to go to Drinkers and just hopping on the deals, Drinkers and Smiths. That's all we do.
Anything
avoid the fights.
For a deal.
Yeah.
Anything for a citywide. Do other cities have citywides? I know I've seen it in different places, but they obviously don't call it a citywide like in Philly.
No idea. Zero idea. They don't have a New York citywide, unless it's like restaurant week or some shit.
Yeah, like a PBR and a shot or whatever. I've heard places that have that kind of special, but I've never seen it so like so branded as it is in Philly.
Sips.
What's your favorite nighttime Philly bar on a weekend outside of Sips?
Nighttime Philly bar sure.
Or
on
maybe,
a weekend.
Maybe like an outside bar, I guess is what I'm thinking.
It's so new now with the beer gardens.
Yeah, there's a lot of beer gardens.
Being going up.
For sure.
I just went one at the former Yards Brewery last week. They turned it into a beer garden.
Oh, yeah?
Did not know that happened.
Where is that?
And it's actually very nice. It's where the Yards Brewery was, right by Sugar House. They turned it into a beer garden.
And now
it's
the Yards Brewery wonderful. Is like a little bit closer to the Electric Factory. They moved that over there. And yeah, there's
hopping in now.
Yeah, there's popping breweries all over the place. Obviously, Morgan's Pier is like, if you're going outside in the summertime.
It's a rite of passage.
You can't beat Morgan's Pier.
No, way better than Kavanaugh's outside.
Does Kavanaugh still have that like disgusting floor that it was like a putting green, the floor of Kavanaugh's? It was like disgusting, and it was like doubly dense because it just absorbed all the beer. There's no way you could like sweep it, but it was like this disgusting like inside fake grass that they had at Kavanaugh's.
It wouldn't surprise me. would not surprise me. Kavanaugh's great wings.
Yeah,
great wings.
But they had the vet turf as their floor.
Yeah, Kavanaugh's on the river deck.
They had next turf.
They've seen some better.
The
seen
little
some better
the little
evolution.
Like black like grains come up when you drag your foot there. It's disgusting. You can tell if you're in bounds with your beer. Yeah, Kavanaugh's is a wild one.
All right, now for the sports talk and some voicemails. What we got, Angelo?
Hey, it's Andy from Temple. Just wanted to get your guys' thoughts on these tight ass baseball purists. I think we should be throwing it these thighs for backflip, and that's it. That ain't me stumbling over the words. There's a typo in here, all right, so that's not my fault. If you didn't like the bats with bring them up, a lot of typos in here. I think this guy's saying that he wants to throw at people, though. I think it's ridiculous. I was wrong when Cole Hamels threw at Harper early in his career, and it's wrong when Hoskins gets thrown at the other day, and it's going to be wrong. So when the Phillies try to plug Freddie Freeman in June, I'll take your answer off the air. So this guy's, I'll tell you what, I don't think he used much grammar in these sentences. It was just he would put periods wherever he wanted to.
Good old Temple education.
Yeah, it's got to be the Temple education.
What are you going to do?
maybe it's just the voicemail technology that's messing up what he's saying there. But I think essentially he's saying that that baseball purists are being pussies in regards to Bryce Harper. Agree or disagree, Smitty?
I will disagree to agree, if that makes sense.
Huh, okay. I'd like to hear the reasoning behind that.
I'm not even
doesn't.
Sure if it does.
It didn't, but I was going to give you a shot at it.
Look, it's absolutely great that Bryce is bringing life back into the Philadelphia area when it comes to baseball. He's a superstar, and he's playing that way right now. But the second they go on a slump, or if they're in a playoff race and falter, and he is still celebrating like that, what is going to be our thought process?
I mean, do you think that he's going to be celebrating like that, or do you think he has a sense of the moment?
I think that he has enough self-awareness that he won't be fist-pumping when we're down 6-0 and he hits a solo shot. I think he has enough awareness around that.
He won't be doing the wave from second base.
Yeah.
But
there are going to be times that he is going to be very, very eccentric out there, and I'm not sure how people are going to take that when he is possibly batting .249 again.
But I like that because, like, the baseball season is so long, and someone who's mercurial like that, that can fire a team up. Like, it's almost like you need he will constantly light a fire under a team one way or another, and sometimes it might be bad, but it's like a coach getting a technical in basketball. Like,
agreed.
Sometimes, like, this is what your team needs right now. Sometimes you need a little, like, I mean, and I also don't think he's going to be bat-flipping like that, like, all the time.
No, and I do agree with you 100%. With that, maybe he will be lighting sparks up dicks every single time he does one of those things.
I like that.
Also, should we throw away the old school mentality? Because, you know, people are going to be angry when he does it regardless. Should we just throw away the old school mentality and even when he is doing it, say when they're down 6-0 and he hits a solo shot. So we'd just be like, fuck it, that's our guy. Let's go. Do it more.
That's
rub
what I feel like. I really feel like that, dude. I feel like, fuck it, that's our guy. And I'm 100% for all the theatrics. And I mean, in kind of a left turn, like, I don't know if this is a pussy take by me, but I feel like throwing at a baseball player is like kind of a bitch move. Like, you're using a weapon that you have, really, oh, yeah, just because someone's celebrating. Like, why don't you just celebrate as hard as he celebrated without being like, I'm going to attack you. I'm going to throw at you for it. Cool. Like, why don't you just not throw him a better pitch? Like, you're so frustrated that you have to, like, plunk him to, like, show your buddies that you didn't like that he celebrated. Like, A, be better at baseball, or B, just fucking celebrate like he does. Baseball has a problem with marketability, and these baseball so-called purists want to keep the game so cloistered that it's not going to be able to grow and eventually slip into oblivion. Fuck all that, dude. We need to be able to whoop it up a little bit, and Harper's the perfect guy for that, and it's such a Philly thing.
And it's been great recently. We saw with the Eagles in their Super Bowl run doing the electric slide all over the place after interceptions,
incredible,
team celebration touchdowns.
Incredible.
Sixers do it pretty constantly, and Embiid's out there dancing up a storm after wins last year. I can't imagine what they'll be doing playoffs this year, assuming Kendall doesn't rip nuts off, which I don't think she is. I think she's a very good addition.
She's taking care of nuts.
Right,
she's fostering nuts. It's comfortability.
As long as it doesn't become a James Thrash situation. Now, for those of you who don't remember, James Thrash should not have even been in the NFL as a wide receiver, so naturally he was Andy Reid's number one wide receiver for like 4 years.
No Harvard resentment.
He would catch a
60-yard bomb.
No, it would be 3rd and 12, and he would catch a 2-yard hitch and then point to the sky.
That's true.
You motherfucker.
That was a little bit over the top.
You motherfucker.
But no, but he would eventually get you the 60-yard bomb.
Why are we talking about James Thrash?
Because he celebrated.
He was over celebrating.
He was celebrating towards God after getting a 3-yard catch on a 3rd and 12 every single time. And it pissed me the fuck off.
Like, the defender should have been celebrating towards God that it was like he didn't get a first down. Like,
and I'm not
fuck?
Saying Bryce is ever going to be that way or any other Philly athlete
is going
to do that.
Bryce isn't going to hit 240, too. I think we've got to get that out of our heads. People keep saying that as if it's going to be like this.
I agree with that.
This, like, impending, you know, thing that's going to automatically.
But you will never change the mind of an old school baseball purist. The way they think now is how they are going to think in the future, and especially in Philly. There's going to be people like that.
But I think it's time to start disrespecting the purists. Okay. I'm going to start throwing at the purists. If they're all about people getting thrown at, like, great,
well,
then you're getting thrown at now.
This argument for me ended with the whole
chin music.
Because they were calling him such a dirtbag for that move that, you know, had been in baseball for years.
But that wasn't a celebratory move. That was
a
baseball move.
I know it's
a
little bit different, but meaning the purists were kind of getting on him like, you just can't do that. You got to know.
Which is bullshit. That's
like
a baseball play, breaking up a double play.
The purist play is to break up the
exactly.
play. Yeah, exactly. So
it's bullshit. It's 100% bullshit. I'm tired with the purists. Get them out the fucking window.
All right. There you go. Pound it.
Pound the fucking table. Fuck the purist. I'm pounding the table over it. Almost just launched your laptop.
That's fair. Yeah. What else we got? Next voicemail.
Next voicemail. Let's see. Let's dial in Pal Antonio and get the next one. All right. The next one. It says, yo, Smitty in Rome. I think he meant yo, Smitty and Rome, but yo, Smitty in Rome. Maybe you were in Rome when he wrote this. Yo, Smitty in Rome. This is Jack. I'm a first-time caller and a long-time listener. I just wanted to let you guys know that I think that Dave Robertson is a bum who does not belong on the Phillies team of this caliber, and I think the Nationals fans are up in the running with Saints fans for being the worst fans in all of sports. I mean, they're just a bunch of wind pitches. Wind pitches can't be what he meant there, but, you know, it's a translated voicemail. Yeah,
saxophone term?
Yeah, wind pitches. Are we talking wiffle ball right now? The fuck is wind pitches? But I love it. These fucking wind pitches. Other than that, the time is yours. So at first, let's talk about Dave Robertson. The Phillies reliever who, what do they spend, like fucking $20 million
on him?
2 years,
$23
million. $23 million for a relief pitcher. Now, we did say that we were going to spend a lot of money in free agency, and that's one of the signings that went a little bit more under the radar.
Yes, and he is a good relief pitcher historically for the Yankees. He had something like the highest strikeouts per nine innings in Major League Baseball history.
Uh-huh.
he's a good signing by the Phillies up until this year. Obviously, when he shit the bed, his three starts, especially yesterday. But I still like him as a 7-8 man or 7th-8th inning man. I do not like him as a closer, which unfortunately, who else you got right now?
Yeah, it's tough for I mean, he has experience as a closer for the Yankees in 14, 15, 16. He saved 39, 34, 37 games. So he has put up save numbers, but if you look at the last three games.
Struggling. And at least he admits he sucks.
Yeah, he said outright that he sucks.
I suck. I admire that. We were watching the game because we were in the radio room with Tommy Smokes, noted Yankees fan and also podcaster, The Short Porch. And he described David Robertson as a Houdini. That was his nickname, Houdini, because he would oftentimes pitch into these first and second, nobody out, bases loaded, nobody out jams, and some way, somehow, escape all harm. So yesterday, exact same situation.
Right.
Bases loaded, nobody out, walk too straight. What does he do? Houdini fucking dies. Just walks another guy in.
Yeah, right. Houdini gets punched in the fucking stomach and keels over. Like that. I don't like having a Houdini on our team because eventually the magic's going to run out.
Exactly.
Like he's what, 34 years old now? Like we paid him a lot of money and it's not going to bother me that much. But like you obviously need some kind of production out of somebody that's going to be paid that much. And luckily it's not a 13-year deal.
No.
But I mean, he can't be giving up a run every single game or else they pay him to not fucking play for him.
I think he's going to come back in some sort of sense. He's not this bad of a pitcher. He's not. He's been in the league way too long. He will find his role. Hopefully it's in the 7th or 8th inning. But the closer spot, it really, really, really disturbs me how they really don't have an answer.
No,
Hector Neris was there 2 years ago, did fine last year. Went off the rails, went to the minors, came back, did a little better. He's a possible solution. Sir Anthony Dominguez, also possible. He throws gas, but we thinking about Craig Kimbrel?
Yeah, I think that I was just going to say, I think everybody jumps to Kimbrel.
It would look better, and that's obviously like the glaring weakness of the team right now. You feel pretty comfortable about
it. I was thinking this morning, too, was like he wants 5 years, and that's the big holdup. Is like if you signed him to that ridiculous 5-year deal, you're just hoping he's good for 2 years, and then you can trade him again, right? I mean, but if you get stuck.
Exactly.
If you get stuck, I think it'd be worth it this year, though. I mean,
it'd be worth it if he had a lights-out playoffs last year.
He was awful next year.
I honestly, I'd take the chances with what we have right now. But I think that you move forward and like, the rest of the lineup, like, the top and bottom of the lineup is, like, you feel so good about that. Like, the starting pitching is, like, looks even more promising than we thought it was going to be. So why not let the roster as it's constructed right now, like, kind of try and go forward, build, see if you can get some confidence in some of these guys before just, like, trying to throw money at another
problem. I do get just maybe another – it doesn't have to be Kimbrel, though. We could just get a different arm at the trade deadline. I'm totally for just a mix and match kind of – maybe two. Maybe two guys. You know, we don't have to spend that much, and it doesn't have to be Kimbrel.
As long as their starting lineup is healthy, they're going to be tough to beat when they're scoring 5 to 9 runs a game.
Yeah, exactly, and that's what we need. It's like such a relief that the offense is like fucking clicking right now, and obviously we're so early into this season and so early into this contract for Bryce, but like it feels so much more comfortable and exciting, and it's like easier to watch baseball right now.
Believe it. Next voicemail.
Next voicemail. Let's go into the annals of history and see who we got. Boys. Oh, wait. We didn't even talk about the fucking second part of that last voicemail. So the second part of the last voicemail was about the Nationals fans and are they as big of pussies as the New Orleans Saints?
Well, in order to call Nationals fans pussies, you would need to identify Nationals fans to begin with,
God
in which
damn.
There are no Nationals fans.
They all
they
left
are converted,
in the third inning.
What are left of them? Left in the third inning, but they are all Orioles fans that converted to being front-running Nationals fans.
And they're like Capitals fans before they won the Cup. I mean, they never won anything, so they're still just beaten down, and the Nats fans aren't going to say anything.
Exactly.
And it's like a transplant city as is, and like locals aren't really going
to
be interested.
To have some sympathy, though, I get it. Like, I would boo them. I don't understand these people that are like...
Absolutely.
Worth. It's like...
We booed Jason Worth when he came back.
Well, and you're going to boo just because you're like, that's...
It's and your team
you
sucks.
Yeah.
It's like something to do. I also don't think that they're as bad as the Saints fans. The Saints like continued to bitch about it for years and years. Like I feel like they've been bitching about it for my entire
Apple
lifetime.
Storms. Yeah.
But this was like you understand what the Nationals are going through. They're heartbroken, and we probably would have done the same thing. Now,
Boys, I work in the media down in Charlotte, but I'm a homegrown Philly guy. It says silly guy right here, but I assume he's not telling us that he's a silly guy. So let's talk about the one thing we've all been ignoring. Can't remember the pirate guy with the parrot on his shoulder at Citizens Bank Park that just keeps screaming beer. Don't beer whatever happened to that dude. I mean, come back like once a month, but now he's gone and dead and good until you get arrested. This is nonsense. What the fuck am I reading? What the fuck happened? Anyway, go Birds, go Fire. Sixers are screwed, but you know how we can't get that Celtics. All right, go on. All right.
Pirate guy. Excuse to scream beer.
Yeah, the pirate guy who screamed beer is, in all my years of Philly sports fandom, I'm not familiar with this dude.
He might not exist.
I found him. I know. I
Oh, he exists.
I found a clip that has 300 views on YouTube of just a guy screaming like he sounds like he just got shot with a tranquilizer. He's just screaming to the, and I think he had like a little parrot on his shoulder or something. But I wasn't familiar with this guy. This seemed like a very niche problem to bring back pirate guy. But I guess he's a mainstay at the stadium. I guess he's just a legendary local.
I've never seen him. I've seen the amputee who wheels around and sings. A delight.
Oh, okay. The amputee, where is it? At Citizens Bank?
Yeah. Somebody stole his leg a couple years ago.
Jesus Christ.
And it was a big thing and gave it back, obviously.
Okay.
But he is a regular. There's a guy who was featured in our old tailgate videos. I called him Banana Hands because his hands were massive.
Mm.
Absolutely massive.
It's like a banana.
Yeah. And he would go around and challenge people to chug beers. And would also be a grifter, would carry around the three cups and see.
Oh, and he'd stack them and see if you could follow the cup?
Oh, yeah.
That's it. You can't even get into that game.
I know that guy.
No matter how close you look.
Yeah, you're done.
You're donezo.
You're done. He probably clean house. I'm not sure if he's still alive. If he is, more credit to him, because the amount of alcohol I've seen that man drink.
Grifters don't die. Somehow grifters stay alive. You'll be back the same place 20 years later.
And then there was a pistachio girl who ended up being a Nazi?
Oh, yeah.
Something like that?
That's tough. I forgot about her. Fuck, I suppressed that memory.
But those are the notable ones that I remember.
What about the lightsaber guy? He would be at the Phillies games sometimes without a shoe on, without shoes. Or, you know, he ran the Seattle 10-mile run without shoes on, but he always has a lightsaber. You know the guy I'm talking about?
Oh,
he's
got
blonde hair. He's just everywhere. Might be like an apostle or something like that. I'm not even sure. He's everywhere. Did you say vet, the sign guy at the vet?
Sign guy at the vet?
Sign
great
guy.
Great guy. May the worst team lose.
Yeah, that
between
was
between them and the Redskins, where both teams were like 0-8.
That's a classic. I remember the last game at the vet, he had like all around the entire stadium there were signs. It was preposterous. Or I mean, obviously your Dirty 30 guys.
Oh,
fucking
yeah,
Sean.
They're not going anywhere. Sean, the shoulder. Sanitation.
Yeah, is that
supervisor
what he does?
In Delco. Oh yeah,
of course, bro. Dirty 30, bro.
Love it.
He's ageless because of the face paint. Like, yeah, I feel like he's like the same dude that booed McNabb. Like he hasn't aged a day.
Really nice guy though.
Is he?
Really nice guy. You got the everybody hits. Woo guy. Really annoyed me at first, but I can't get me around to him.
Yeah, it's like it's nice background music. Like once you can tune it out to like a suitable volume, it's palatable. But like
that's so common now too. That's such an old one.
Yeah, that's an old classic. Do you think that he positioned himself by the microphone, or it was just like a coincidence that he was everybody?
He knew what he was
and,
doing.
Yeah,
he knew exactly what he was
it
doing.
It was calculated.
Oh yeah. First time, long time. Episode 6 coming up to a wrap up party right now. We're going to have things that are going to be added, obviously. Kate's going to be involved. She's going to give a 2-minute Delco roundup, which is going to be lovely. Jordy's going to be involved with some Flyers chat. We're going to get some union talk in here from time to time. And just
we're doing local Delco sports?
Local Delco life.
At the stadium. Everybody, whoever's going out the stadium and playing hockey, the peewee hockey that
I mean,
got there.
Screw local Delco sports roundups. What about local Delco betting odds on those
there
sports?
There you go, yeah. Which local
referee is rigging your NBA playoff games today.
Which one's rigging the CYO game?
Right, exactly.
That starts
Sunday
morning.
Oh, it's rigged.
Yeah.
Trust us.
Believe it. But we also have, obviously, more Sixers talk with the playoffs coming up.
Oh, my God. It's about to be the fucking... I mean, since 2001, there has never been a Sixers team that is so exciting going into
there
the playoffs.
There may have never been a Sixers, or I mean a Philly era that we're kind of getting into. This is unprecedented.
Agreed.
It's the Lions gate. It's beautiful.
Are you concerned about how they won 20 plus straight games last year going to the playoffs? And this year...
That's a different team.
I know it's a different team, yeah. And I know they're obviously
better.
But you
can't expect 20 wins to end a season. Like, that was a beautiful anomaly. And the way I think it didn't mean shit when they won 20 games last year in the playoffs. Like, they didn't really play better because they won the 20 games.
Well, against the Heat, they ran pretty hot against the Heat.
They were, but the Heat still even, like, once they played against better competition. But I also just think the nature of the NBA right now is, like, bad teams lose at the end of seasons because they're shutting everybody down and they want higher draft picks. So, like, when the, like, weight of a win is almost diluted towards the end of this of a season.
I agree, but also I see the Warriors going out against the Nuggets, absolutely stamping their dicks down for the number one seed, won by, like, 17 points. Sixers, yes, they had that little run where they beat the Celtics. They the Bucks, which was a great, great game. They played the Bucks again tonight. This will be released afterwards. Without Embiid, though, obviously he was a huge part of that last win against the Bucks when he locked down Giannis. I just like to see it turn on at will a little more. I don't like to see him lose the Hawks to the Magic when games that just even Butler and Embiid aren't playing. Like, I just like to see that edge, that eye of the tiger.
No, you never want to see them lose, but sometimes it looks like they're clicking, but then they do have the clunkers where it's like, is this a team that's going to, like, take us that far? But I do believe in the composition of this team. And, you know, you add a guy like Greg Monroe, maybe Greg Monroe can help you, man. Maybe he's a helpful addition. But I think that they're more equipped to have a deep playoff run than, like I said, any team since 2001. So for that reason, we'll have a lot to talk about.
How far do they need to get for this season not to be a disappointment? I say Eastern Conference Finals.
That's a fact. They need to make it to the. They need to feel like they made progress. Mm. They need to feel like they took a step forward from last season. And yeah, it has to be the Eastern Conference Finals. Who knows who you're going to see there? But they're going to show us a lot in the playoffs. So whether they're a team that's like ready to make noise right now, or whether like it's a clunker like we've seen against these bad teams, and we're going to need to maybe reconfigure our roster. Like, maybe these are the guys going forward, and maybe we try and make a multi-year run with these guys, and that's what we're going to find out in the next couple months.
Here's a question. If Jimmy Butler doesn't do what Jimmy Butler is capable of doing in the playoffs, is he a Sixer next year?
Dude, I think he is, man. I think Jimmy is so, so, so important. And just because sometimes he knows when to be, like, passive because he's playing almost the way that Kevin Durant does. Obviously, he's not skilled like Kevin Durant, but he's trying to integrate himself into Philadelphia's offense as, like, he can be the fourth option when he needs to, or he can try and take over the game when he needs to. I think that willingness to assimilate is so important, and his defense is so important. Like, I think that I love fucking Jimmy and Tobias. I love our roster construction right now, and going forward, I want both of them here, dude. I'm okay with paying them both, but I am worried about our perimeter defense against point guards. Like, Trae Young fucking carved us up like pretty badly. Like, I don't know if JJ Redick isn't going to do the trick, and like sometimes Ben Simmons switches off or like he doesn't. So I mean, we need someone to lock that down. I thought
which
it was
going to
be Zaire.
Supposed to be. Or Marco last year, and he had one of the worst playoff series I've ever seen against the Celtics.
Yeah, he's
completely
obviously
shit the bed. And I love Rocco.
No, we upgraded. You know, these players that we have on our team right now are an upgrade, and now it's their turn to go out there and show us why we brought them in here.
Let's boogie.
Let's fucking boogie.
Let's boogie. First time, long time. We'll see you next week.